You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, welcome, Westside. It's great to be together. Great to hear communion from different members of the church and the worship team. Thank you so much. And everybody that puts together the services. It was really great this morning. We had our Foundations of Faith training class. I was so encouraged. There was almost 50 of us there to learn how to teach the Bible to one another, and I was really encouraged. So that fits really great in today's lesson. The title of today's lesson is Love the Lord Your God with All Your Strength. And we have been going through the Shema from Deuteronomy, as mentioned. It's the prayer, the classic Jewish prayer that they would say every morning and night. And we as a congregation have been saying it. CJ last week preached on love the Lord your God with all your soul, your nefesh, your throat, your body, your life. And they overlap. Let's read the Shema together. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 6 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Or other versions say, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Today, we're going to hit strength. Now, when we think strength, we think muscles, typically, right? And I have been working out. Don't know if you could tell. But only one time a week with my friend, with Andrew, our brother Andrew. And we work out at his gym. He recently moved, so we're going to find a new place. But when we work out, and I know you need to work out more than one time a week, probably to really, Oscar, the trainer, who trains, he helps train my wife, and she trains three times a week. She keeps hitting personal bets at all areas of full body workouts. But, you know, when Andrew and I meet, we work out, and, you know, what do we do? We're men. We do bench press, right? Got to do some bench press. We always do bench press every Tuesday. And we decided that, you know, we gotta hit a goal. So we're like, you know what? We're going to hit where we can do at least one rep of 300 pounds. That's kind of like, you know, growing up, it's like, if you can hit 300 one good time, then you're strong, right? So we're both like, we're at about 250. So we got to keep it going. We might have to elevate more than once a week working out to get there. But we are going up. And it's important to, you know, be healthy and to get strong. But the text, and we're going to look at this more in depth, the Hebrew word behind strength is this word miod, okay? And I'll show you from the Bible Project, it's miod. And there's better words for strength. There's other words in Hebrew for the word strength, and miod's not one of them. And yet this word is used in this passage in a very unique way. And the meaning of it is, the word is often used when you want to put an emphasis on something. Like when God created the world, he said, hey, it was good. And then he said it was miod good. It was very good. So it really means very much or really, really a lot, right? And so I kind of expanded that picture right there. It could mean, you know, I'm really angry. I'm really happy. You know, you're really, really good at stuff. That's what it means. Essentially, it means muchness. To serve God with all your muchness. Now, that's unique. Like, what is that all about? But I think as the Bible Project talks about, you kind of understand a little bit of what that means. There's an intensity to what it really looks like. And I like looking at it as the resources, the capacities that we have available to us. So your physical strength kind of plays into that. You know, we had a football tournament and our athletes on our campus and a lot of the singles came out and they used some of that physical strength to help us do pretty well. We got third place. Amen. I mean, I would like to have won, but you know, third's not bad. We did okay. We did beat the OC team, which was, you know, my son's team. It was kind of fun to have my grandson in my hand and he, you know, I was holding him and we won the game. It was just kind of cool. I don't know. I just had fun with that one. You know, we can love God with all the different resources that we have. We can love God, our miod, to love him with all our strength is to really, really, really figure out what you have inside of you, who you are, and can it be given over to God completely, fully? That's the idea. And two things came to my mind primarily about this. And the Apostle Paul really set a great example for all of us in the scriptures. And I want to focus on two main points. The first one is this, that loving him with all our strength involves zeal and endurance that has to come from within, right? It has to come from some inner area of energy. Now, the Apostle Paul shows us what it looks like, what muchness looks like. You know, he was a very motivated and awesome guy. Outside of God, he was exceedingly successful. Many of us are exceedingly successful outside of God. We should be not less motivated, but more motivated when we come into a deep relationship with God. And I like this verse in Romans 12 where the Apostle Paul says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. See, Paul doesn't say, be exhausted for the Lord. He says, have zeal, fervor. Zeal is like your, you have this energy to do something productive, right? To be super productive. Now, the new year has begun. We all want to be productive. I know I do my little, I do this like a prioritization of my schedule. The First Things First book I read years ago from Stephen Covey talks about how to get your priorities on straight and how to schedule your time based upon the roles that you have in life. You know, my primary role is I'm a disciple of Jesus. And so what do? Every day I wake up and I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to spend time in the Word. You schedule your life based upon your roles. You know, my number two role is I'm a husband, right? Number one is me and God. Number two, I'm a husband. I have to be devoted to my wife. I have to schedule things, plan things, think through how that's coming along. I'm also a father, although my kids are grown up, so it's a little different because they're out on their own doing their own thing. I'm a grandfather, that's important. So family connection, that's important. I'm the minister, one of the ministers here in the Westside Church. That's an important role. I have the role lately of helping the campus along with Ryan, so I'm putting some extra time into campus. I'm loving doing that. I'm helping work with the singles ministry, the marrieds ministry, partnering with the Wakefields, really help oversee all things going on in the church. So as I schedule my life, my strength is I want to prioritize my time wisely, and I have a long way to go. Some people are excellent at that even outside of God. How much more so should we be excellent at it in the confines of God's great capacities for your life? Amen. God wants you to not be frantic and burned out, but to have a fervor and a zeal that wells up inside of you. He doesn't want you to be guilt-driven, but love-driven. The Apostle Paul was love-driven, right? He was inspired. He was motivated. He was making things happen. I like seeing people use their gifts with a zeal and an energy to make things happen, right? And the Apostle Paul was really effective. Now, he says how he had the zeal to even persecute the church in the old days. And then when he became a disciple and a follower of Jesus, you know, he was a planter of many churches. And we're going to read about that a little bit. I did want to share one thing I thought was really inspiring this past week with the football was I want to hold up a brother in here who really used some of his resources and his time and his energy. And that was Coach Ron. Thank you, Coach Ron. Ron Harris. He's in the singles ministry. But he's like, I want to help the college campus ministry be successful in that. He organized, he planned it. He did such a great job. He used his muchness, right? One of his strengths, he played high school football. He played a little college football. He had knowledge. He had zeal. And he used that to strengthen and build a great team. And the football tournament, the goal of it was not just to win. It was to build spiritual relationships, to reach out to the community, to connect with people who like sport. And it was successful. We had a ton of people there from all different walks of life. Thank you, Ron Harris, for serving with all your muchness. Amen. Here's a picture of the team. I love it. You know, the Apostle Paul said, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. The Apostle Paul, he worked with God's energy, not his own energy, right? Like Grant mentioned, Jesus did the hard work for us. The energy's got to come from God, not from ourselves. We're going to look more at this. I want you to consider these two questions. Do you serve with true spiritual zeal or other types of zeal, which come from areas that cause burnout? What would it look like for your service to become more love-driven and less pressure-driven? I will confess, I get really motivated under pressure. I get a lot done under pressure. How many of you guys are last-minute Louis? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in that club too. And I don't like having to do that, but I'm very successful getting stuff done last minute. All right, I get a lot of stuff done. It's better to plan out, and you can get burned out if you do it last minute all the time. So you have to work on what your motivations are. All right, you don't want pressure to be the only thing that moves you along. It's got to be something bigger, and it's not the only thing that moves me along, but I do respond well to it in terms of really getting on it and making stuff happen. But the question for us is, what would it take for you to become more love-driven and less pressure-driven? It's an important quality to grow in. So as I think about the Apostle Paul, you know, his zeal was contagious. He was a mover, a shaker. He was making stuff happen, right? His zeal, right? He had this zeal with all the energy that comes from God. He says, I worked much harder than the other apostles, but he says, but not I, the grace of God that was inside of me. What motivated his zeal was this understanding, whoever is forgiven much loves much. When you see how much God's done, if you're not aware of how much you need God, you won't understand how much he wants to utilize you as well. See, the Apostle Paul, man, he was making stuff happen after Jesus reached him and said, you're my chosen instrument. He was a persecutor of the church. But then that guy went out and did incredible things, amazing things. I love this verse right here in Philippians 3. It says, as for zeal, persecuting the church, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. He's like, I've done away with the old me. All, however motivated he was, persecuting the church, he's gonna take it way further in building the church. And really, history says he did that. If you look at history, it's quite remarkable. The New Testament connects the Apostle Paul to at least 50 named places across his ministry. And the book of Acts, which we're going to be studying starting in February, alone records him preaching and strengthening churches across dozens of cities throughout the Roman world. He was planting churches. He wrote a great portion of the New Testament under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He's inspiring, right? He did some incredible things because of this internal zeal inside of him. That the grace that worked up inside him. That's serving God with all your strength. It's this welling up energy that comes out and being, yes, very productive, really effective. And one of the things that brings energy is repentance. Scriptures teach that. Repentance brings energy. When you finally are sick of being what you've been, you're like, I'm changing. And when you finally decide to change, you get active. Now, I'll confess that a lot of times being a last minute Louie, I repent of being like not taking care of things or being distracted. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? I got to get on it and make sure everything gets done. And then I have a zeal, right? An energy. And I'm like getting on it. And I got to repent, always planning ahead, working on planning ahead. It's work for me. It's just my ADD. I have challenges with that. But luckily I have people around me like CJ and Carrie who are amazing planners. And so that, you know, you got to do that as well. You compensate a little. But when you look at things you need to change and grow in, it creates energy, right? If you have a besetting sin in your life and you're willing to take a good look at it and repent, it's going to create energy to change. That's what 2 Corinthians talks about when it talks about repentance. It says, consider the eagerness to clear yourself, right? What earnestness, the scripture in repentance, an energy comes inside of you and you get motivated. That's what was going on with the Apostle Paul. His muchness, his zeal. He was doing incredible things. Amen. In our culture today, a lot of people get a lot of great things done without even motivated necessarily from the cross. I watched the college football championship this past week, and the University of Indiana, the losingest institution in football, in the history of football, won the national championship. Amazing. Amazing. So that means UCLA, we can do it. We are actually a winning program in history, but we just had a couple bad years or decades. So, but we're going to turn it. I'm seeing it turn. Their coach Kirk Cignetti said he has been in Indiana for, you know, the past 2 years, but he's not seen much of the city in the daytime because he's working long hours to get that team where it needed to go. He was in the office when the sun set almost every single day to win a football championship. I think it's just a call higher. It's a great leadership story. I look forward to watching the 30 for 30 on ESPN that comes out about that story of that guy, what he did. But it just shows you great things are possible. Westside, God's calling us to serve him with all our strength, all our muchness, with an internal zeal that we can't be less productive as disciples of Jesus than people who build companies and build businesses and do these and build football teams. You guys with me? God says, I'm giving you the energy to do something incredible that changes lives. Amen. Let's keep reading this passage in Philippians. I love it. He says, I consider them garbage, all his old accomplishments, that I may gain Christ. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Amen. See, strength presses on. Strength spiritually can get you through the toughest of times, because what it is, it's coming from the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, hey, our competence doesn't come from ourselves. Our competence comes from God. The energy that resurrected Jesus from the dead is available to us. We got to believe that. That when you feel exhausted doing good, when you're loving, I believe the Holy Spirit pours more love into your heart so you have a limitless supply of love to give to others. When you're giving out of love, not pressure or duty, you have a limitless supply. Ask any mom or dad of an infant who has to wake up at 2 a.m., right? Feed that baby, take care. You just do it. Why? It's coming from love. You know, Paul had a lot he could brag about, but he said, I'm not done, right? I've not achieved my goal. The great thing is we've been putting a lot of time into becoming more like Jesus. That's an awesome goal because it calls you higher. I often hear, you know, professional athletes talk about golf and they go, man, I love golf because it's so hard. I can keep getting better. Even guys like Michael Jordan loved golf. He's the best at basketball, but he knew he wasn't that good at golf, or he's way better than me, but he could get so much better, right? Some of those sports, you can just get so much better. We are in the same boat with our ever increasing likeness goal of becoming like Jesus, right? And that's exciting. So change gives you energy. You get to become more like Jesus, more patient, right? I remember when I did my sabbatical, the one thing, and I mentioned this a number of times, but I've been told, you know, to slow down more. And one thing I've been working on, I'm still not 100% there, but it's trying to slow down when I walk amongst the auditorium, so I can notice people. I don't always notice people. And it's not because of you, it's because I'm ADD and I'm always thinking about the next thing. But I've been trained to try to slow down and pay attention. And I remember reading, just walk slow through the congregation. And I kind of, you know, as I'm preaching to myself, right? Okay, walk slow. Notice people. Some of you are really good at it. Others aren't not so good at it. I'm not that good at it because I always got stuff running through my head, all right? Pray for me. But I want to grow, and I love that I get to grow. Do you want to grow in Christ? Are you excited and zealous? The Apostle Paul was like, with all his muchness, and he was already doing so much. He's like, listen, I've not attained my goal. Well, he hadn't gotten to heaven. He hadn't entered into, you know, eternity yet, and he knew he had more to grow to become like Jesus. I press on to take hold of that, right? And I loved how he says this. He says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Wow. Okay, Westside, guess what? We have, if you count from like downtown all the way to here, it's like 1 million people on the Westside. And then we spread out kind of South LA, Westside, technically Westside, maybe 500,000, but if you expand all the way through Hollywood and downtown and maybe where most of us live, there's like at least 1 million or more in our area geographically that Westside's is called to evangelize. And there's a lot of people there where Christ is not known. There's a lot of communities where Christ is not known. There's a lot of areas we don't have family groups. We don't have Bible talks. We don't have areas where there's whole social cultures we've not reached into. And yet we're a talented and eclectic and diversified group. So many people. There is vision that God has for you guys. I hope that you feel this internal ambition. If you're not a small group leader, thank you, small group leaders in here. I want to give you a hand for being a small group leader. That's a high calling. Thank you. We're going to need more small group leaders. We're going to need new people. Say, I live in an area, I have to drive 30, 20 minutes to my small group. Great. Let's start one in your neighborhood. That's the goal, right? To reach, to have the ambition, the internal fire of God to reach using all our strength. Amen? So let's ask this question. Where are you most tempted to settle spiritually because you've done enough? You feel you've done enough. We mentioned in our class today with the those being trained on how to teach the first principles, which everyone's welcome to come to on Sunday mornings, that you're going to get hurt if you put yourself out there to help other people know Jesus, because you're going to give your heart to them and they may turn away. They may not like how you're going about helping them, and you're going to get injured, disillusioned, affected. It hurts. It hurts. Many of us can agree. I mean, how many people you, and sometimes they get mad at you for telling them things that are actually very loving and true that they need to hear. And sometimes they're just, you know, you have to have grace and compassion, but you got to be willing to go through the hard times. But some of us, we just, I've done enough. I'm done. You know, I'm getting older, so I am thinking about my financial retirement. Someday coming off the church payroll. Someday. Not too soon. It's coming. It's coming. I can see it. But I'm never retiring from trying to be like Jesus. I'm not going to retire from the work of Jesus calling me to. Right? Never, ever. Because if it comes from the right place, you don't get tired of that. So for you, what would pressing on look like for you in the next 30 days? Specific, what does pressing on look like for you in the next 30 days? Maybe it's different for every single person. It's a rhetorical question for you to consider. What do I need to do? Where have I lost a little bit of my energy? Where have I lost some of my desire? Where have I dropped off, or I've written it off because I'm in pain? Maybe you do need some healing. Right? We all need to grow. I'm talking to another minister. Both of us have bad ADD, and I've never been literally diagnosed with it. He has. I'm like, I probably should and see what, I don't know. There's more. I can grow in that. I can get better. I got to press on. You can press on. You can grow. You can become more than you ever thought you could become. That's what it means to love him with all your strength. Now, I want to go on to the second point as we close out here, and that is loving him with all your strength includes your resources. The ancient Hebrews interpreted, as your capacities, the capacity of your life, your resources of your life. And with that, some ancient Hebrew scholars translated it quite clearly as your wealth. Yeah, that's a power you have. That's a strength some people have. In America, in the year 2026, quite frankly, it's the wealthiest time in human history, right? I read somewhere that now there are 3 billion or 3,000 billionaires recently. It just hit. So there's 3,000 billionaires. Let's pray one billionaire becomes a member, and they can just sponsor our internship programs, our youth ministry programs, our downtown LA outreach programs. You know, building. You know, yeah, we could build a facility in the West Side if we want. I mean, a million things are possible. But God doesn't give us stuff like that if your character's not ready. He just won't do that, because he's much more looking forward to us changing as people than just dropping that kind of thing on you, right? He wants you to be ready who you need to be before that kind of thing happens. So I want to talk about three things: relationships, gifts and skills, and your finances and your money. That's your strength, right? Loving the Lord. Okay, let's talk about with all your relationships. What do I mean? One of the biggest things there is, I'm going to narrow in here on those of us that are married. Some of us have had the blessing of getting married. We have three couples, I think at least three, maybe four or five, actually, I might be wrong, that are currently engaged. Amen. I'm really excited about that, right? A number of you guys are. I know Carrie and I are helping Grant and Kayla with their premarital counseling, and we're, working with some other people getting married soon. That's an awesome thing. Marriage actually is a resource to give and nurture and help other people. I like this verse. Look at it. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Doing marriage the right way inspires people, makes your marriage last. Marriage should be honored by all. You know, some of us have been married many, many, many years, over 3 decades, 4 decades. That's a resource to give and nurture others with. There's maturity there. There's security. There's this feeling of home. Sometimes our marriages don't go well. They go poorly. But sometimes you can share what you're learning from having things go poorly, right? As long as you're growing and changing and not settling. And yeah, we believe in marriage till death do us part. We believe in that biblically, that we fight for the answer, that through the grace of Jesus, there's a way to repair any situation. And I know some of us are in a really tough way. And yet you can't give up, because marriage should be honored. And it's a resource to use to help others find God, see God, experience God. Young people need other mature married couples to pull them in. A lot of times on our college students, they're away from the actual mom and dad who are across the country. So I love that many of our married couples have the college students over for dinner. They provide that home environment to nurture them as they're going through this stage of life. More and more of you can use your marriages for great things. And if your marriage is having a hard time, work on it. There are many resources. We'll be providing more as the year goes around, but there are so many out there for you. Don't settle. God can change any situation. Amen. All right. I also want to talk about your gifts. I like this passage in 1 Peter. Last week, CJ mentioned Romans chapter 12 about the many gifts that we have. And I want to read this one. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Okay, so here's the thing. I've been hitting this. I hit the music gift, right? We still need musicians, tech people. Always need that, because the greater the worship is, the more our souls get lifted. Ben, thank you for coordinating that. Please keep seeing Ben. If you want to participate, I would like to have more people. We've had Reese. He's incredible. His singing is elevated. Thank you, Reese. But I think more of us can help Reese by leading some songs. Some of you used to lead songs back in the old school days. And I would like to ask for a few of you to go to Ben and say, hey, I used to lead him in the old school days. I'll lead one, you know, maybe one time a month. Just one song, one time a month. And that adds variety and a different energy, right? And you can prepare and prep it. And that would really encourage all our song team. That's a big practical way to really give back to the church, amen? So I want to urge you, if you have done that and can do that. But there's many other gifts that many of you have, and I want to talk about some of those, all right? I want to talk about all the different gifts and skills, all right? So I made a, here's a ChatGPT graphic for you of all the skills that I was thinking about. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, all right? So some of you can teach. Some of you can encourage. Some of you are great at organizing. We're going to reorganize the church stores soon. Some of you are great at counseling. Some of you are professional counselors. Some of you are great at organizing systems, both computer systems, but just systems in general to make things flow well in whatever's trying to get done. You might have a system of how church should function, how parking lot attendants should function, how the ushers should function. Some of you are really good at stuff, and you see it, and you're like, oh, if they should do it this way. You ever walk into a restaurant and think, man, this is poorly run? And you have only did this, this, and this, it'd be better. Guess what? In church, the church is yours. It's all of ours. Together, we make it awesome. If you know how to make it better, then participate. Don't just suggest. You're going to have to get involved. You're allowed to suggest, but if you suggest, plan to do some work, okay? That's what's going to be involved. Some of you can make videos. It's the video creation world, right? We use them on Sundays. We need them for promotion. Some of you are great at that. Some of you are great at social media promotion. And yes, we need you for that. Ryan and I are talking about getting some college students to help run that, adding in some internship with that. We need that for the church. It's primary motivation and evangelism for really church, all churches these days. So some of you are great at it. Please speak to the staff. Speak to Ryan or myself about that if you want to participate. Some of you are just good listeners. And keep doing it. Meet with people, hear their story, care about them. Some of you are great with the children. And you know what? Thank you that you've served in our children's ministry. We want our children's ministry to expand and expand. Some of you are just good leaders. And like I said, we need more small group leaders. We need leaders of every kind. And there are many other gifts I didn't list. But I want you to think, is this a resource that you have? Maybe it's a capacity you have learned outside of church in your vocation. Loving the Lord with all your strength means, how can God use this? Maybe you have connections with lots of people in certain circumstances, and you never thought those could be really useful for us to start an outreach benevolent project in the city, because I know different people. We have incredible people in here. You know, Charlotte on the board of the school board, and so many of you work in the community in big capacities. I mean, we need to use the resources. That's what it means to love the Lord your God with all your strength. So here's the question for you. What is one gift or skill you have a spiritual or vocational. It doesn't have to be that you see it as spiritual. It might be a vocational thing that you learned at work, but you've never really offered it to God. I want you to consider that. Our final challenge you're going to have for today's lesson is to put it into practice. So let's land the plane. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is a promise from God, right? Whoever sows sparingly, listen, if you're not generous financially to the work of God, it plays out in your life. You're going to have, you know, the scriptures are filled with examples that you build and build and build and stuff falls right through your pocket like you have a hole because you've not honored God with these resources that Grant mentioned. He gave you the ability to have. But if you sow generously, you reap generously. God's our dad. He likes us having awesome lives, but he wants us to be a channel through which his resources run. So you do need to be giving to the local church because all the benevolent work that practically exists through our ministries all started in the local church, right? We help souls change, find Jesus. You need the local church. You need to give to your local church. It doesn't have to be our church, but whatever one you're committed to, you need to give to it. You need to sow generously so the spiritual transformation of the world can take place. Amen. Westside, you have been giving a lot. Thank you. I believe it can go up. I see where we're at. I know who we are. Some of you are so generous, but I think many of us, we've not fully gotten where I think God's calling you to be. It'll change this church when all of us are truly generous. That's the call of God. Amen. All right. If someone audited your week, your spending, your time, your attention, what would they conclude you love most? And here's my closing challenge. Think of one resource that God has given you and what's one way you will use it for God this week. Think of one resource he's given you and then think this week, how can I use this for God this week? Amen. Let's love the Lord our God with all our strength. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.